Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Today, we mark a significant milestone in India's social reform history as we celebrate the 200th birth anniversary of Mahatma Jyotirao Phule, a pioneering social reformer, educationist, and anti-caste activist. Jyotirao Phule was born into the Mali community in Pune on 11 April 1827. What makes this significant is that he challenged Brahminical caste orthodoxy at a time when such resistance carried severe social consequences. First, he, along with his wife Savitri Bai Phule, established India's first school for girls on 1st January 1848 at Bhide Wada, Pune, making Savitri Bai the country's first female teacher. Crucially, this was a groundbreaking step towards women's education and empowerment in India. Building on this, Jyotirao Phule founded the Satyashodhak Samaj, or the Truth Seekers Society, on 24 September 1873 for Shudra Dalit emancipation. He also authored Gulamgiri in 1873, comparing the caste system to the American institution of slavery. And here is something that surprises many students: Jyotirao Phule was conferred the title Mahatma on 11 May 1888 by Vithalrao Krishnaji Vandekar in Bombay, predating Gandhi's use of the title. Now, let us turn to another significant development. India has achieved the third rank globally in renewable energy capacity. As of 31st March 2026, India's total non-fossil fuel installed power capacity reached 283.46 gigawatts, making India the third largest renewable energy nation in the world, behind only China and the United States. Remember this number, 283.46 gigawatts, which includes 274.68 gigawatts of renewable energy and 8.78 gigawatts of nuclear power. What does this mean for India's energy landscape? It signifies a substantial shift towards cleaner energy sources, with renewables now meeting 51.5% of peak electricity demand. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, it's essential to note that India surpassed Brazil to reach the third position globally. This is a critical fact for your general studies paper, highlighting India's progress in the renewable energy sector. Now, let us discuss the Viksit Bharat Shiksha Adhishthan, or VBSA, Bill 2025. The VBSA Bill proposes to replace the University Grants Commission, or UGC, the All India Council for Technical Education, or AICTE, and the National Council for Teacher Education, or NCTE, with a single apex regulatory body for higher education, aligned with the National Education Policy, or NEP, 2020. What makes this significant is that it excludes medical education, which is under the National Medical Commission, and legal education, which is under the Bar Council of India. The new body will have three operational verticals: the Regulatory Council, the Accreditation Council, and the Standards Council, with a composition of a chairperson and 12 commission members. Note this carefully, the penalty for violations can range from 10 lakh to 2 crore. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of the VBSA bill. It is worth pausing here to note that the bill separates funding authority from regulatory functions, which could lead to more efficient governance in the higher education sector. Now, let us turn to the topic of women's credit. A joint report by Niti Aayog, TransUnion CIBIL, and Microsafe Consulting reveals that women borrowers in India now hold 76 lakh crore in total credit, representing 26% of the total financial system credit. What does this mean for women's empowerment? It signifies a substantial increase in women's access to credit, with 16 crore credit active women borrowers as of 2025. Remember this number, 16 crore, which is a significant milestone in financial inclusion. But why does this matter? the credit active share of women has doubled from 19% in 2017 to 36% in 2025, indicating a remarkable growth in women's participation in the credit market. And here is something that surprises many students. Women default rates are 30% lower than the market average, making them a more reliable borrower segment. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, it's essential to note that the report highlights the growth of business loans with a compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of 59% in Bihar and 42% in Uttar Pradesh since 2017. This is a critical fact for your general studies paper, highlighting the progress of women's economic empowerment in India. Now, let us discuss the Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, signed between the Financial Intelligence Unit India, or FIUIND, and the Indian Cybercrime Coordination Center, or I4C. The MOU aims to enable real-time intelligence sharing and a coordinated response to cyber-enabled financial fraud. What makes this significant is that it adopts a whole-of-government approach, bringing together different agencies to combat financial cybercrime. Note this carefully, FIUIND is under the Ministry of Finance, Department of Revenue, and tracks financial transactions related to money laundering and terrorism financing. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of the MOU. It is worth pausing here to note that the MOU aims to develop red flag indicators for financial institutions, which could help prevent cyber-enabled financial fraud. Now, let us turn to the topic of GLP-1 drugs. The Drug Controller General of India, or DCGI, has issued an advisory restricting the prescription of GLP-1 receptor agonist drugs to specialists only, amid concerns about misuse in non-clinical weight loss. What does this mean for public health? It signifies a crucial step towards preventing the misuse of these drugs, which are approved for type 2 diabetes and clinical obesity under specialist supervision. Remember this fact, GLP-1 drugs mimic natural gut hormones to regulate blood sugar and reduce appetite. But why does this matter? The DCGI restricts prescriptions to endocrinologists, cardiologists, and internal medicine specialists, which could help prevent non-prescription use for cosmetic weight loss by non-obese individuals. And here is something that surprises many students. The advisory is a response to the growing concern about the misuse of GLP-1 drugs, which could have serious health consequences. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, it's essential to note that the advisory highlights the importance of responsible prescription practices, which is a critical aspect of public health. Now, let us discuss the Chagos Archipelago. The United Kingdom has suspended the previously negotiated deal to transfer sovereignty of the Chagos Archipelago to Mauritius, following pressure from the United States under the Trump administration. What makes this significant is that the Chagos Archipelago is a critical location for AS UK joint military base, which is essential for Indo-Pacific and West Asia operations. Note this carefully. The deal was agreed upon under the previous UK government, but the current government halted it after Trump administration objections. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of the suspended deal. It is worth pausing here to note that Mauritius holds a colonial-era claim to the Chagos Archipelago, and the island's original inhabitants, the Chagosians, were displaced in the 1960s and 1970s. Remember this fact. The International Court of Justice, or ICJ, advisory opinion in 2019 supported Mauritius' sovereignty claim. Now, let us turn to the topic of the Narmada water pipeline. The Narmada water has reached Sundara village in Burma district, Rajasthan, after a 728-kilometer pipeline journey, marking a milestone in India's border area development and interstate water distribution. What does this mean for India's water security? It signifies a substantial step towards providing drinking water to one of India's most water-scarce regions, the Thar Desert. Note this carefully, The Narmada Canal network from the Sardar Sarovar project has been incrementally extended into Rajasthan. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, it's essential to note that the pipeline project highlights India's efforts to address water scarcity and provide drinking water to remote areas, which is a critical aspect of social and economic development. Now, let us discuss the Vumaniya initiative on the government e-marketplace, or GEM. The Vumaniya initiative has enabled 2.1 lakh women-led micro and small enterprises to secure 28,000 crore in government procurement contracts, exceeding its 3% target with a 5.6% share. What makes this significant is that it promotes women's entrepreneurship and economic empowerment, with 13.7 lakh orders and a 27.6% year-over-year growth. Remember this number, 2.1 lakh, which is a substantial milestone in women's economic empowerment. But why does this matter? The Vumaniya initiative was launched in 2019 under the Ministry of Commerce and Industry, and it has been instrumental in promoting women's participation in the economy. And here is something that surprises many students: the initiative has helped women entrepreneurs access government procurement contracts, which could help them grow their businesses and create more jobs. Now, let us turn to the topic of KABIL, or Khanij Bidesh India Limited. KABIL is expanding overseas exploration of lithium, cobalt, and nickel, which are critical minerals essential for India's battery, electric vehicle, and electronics manufacturing ambitions under the Production Linked Incentive, or PLI, scheme. What does this mean for India's mineral security? It signifies a substantial step towards securing strategic mineral assets overseas, with a focus on lithium, cobalt, and nickel. Note this carefully: KABIL is a joint venture between NALCO, HCL, and MECL, with a mandate to identify, acquire, and develop strategic mineral assets overseas. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, it's essential to note that KABIL's efforts highlight India's push to secure critical minerals, which is a critical aspect of India's economic and energy security. Now, let us discuss India's decision not to host COP33 in 2028. India has decided against pursuing the hosting of COP33, reversing an informal offer made at COP28 in Dubai in December 2023. What makes this significant is that it reflects India's pushback against mitigation-centric climate frameworks, which could have significant implications for India's climate policy. Note this carefully: India has consistently argued that the 1.5°C temperature targets impose inequitable burdens on developing nations, and has emphasized the need for climate finance from developed nations. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of India's decision. It is worth pausing here to note that the decision highlights India's concerns about climate justice and equity, which is a critical aspect of international climate negotiations. Now, let us turn to the topic of Artemis II. NASA's Artemis II mission has completed successfully with a crew splashdown, marking a new era of human deep space exploration. What does this mean for space exploration? It signifies a substantial step towards returning humans to the lunar vicinity, with the first crewed lunar flyby since Apollo 17 in December 1972. Remember this fact: the Artemis II mission included the first woman and the first person of color to travel to the vicinity of the moon. But why does this matter? The Artemis II mission is a critical step towards establishing a sustainable human presence on the lunar surface, which could have significant implications for space exploration and development. And here is something that surprises many students: India's LVM3 rocket may carry future commercial payloads under Artemis-aligned agreements, which could help India participate in international space exploration efforts. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Jyotirao Phule was born on 11th April 1827 and was conferred the title Mahatma on 11th May 1888. India's total non-fossil fuel installed power capacity reached 283.46 gigawatts, with 51.5% of peak demand met by renewables. The VPSA bill replaces the UGC, AICTA, and NCTA, and is aligned with the NEP 2020. Women's credit portfolio has reached at 76 lakh crore, with 16 crore credit active women borrowers. The FIUND is under the Ministry of Finance, Department of Revenue, and tracks financial transactions related to money laundering and terrorism financing. The Chagos Archipelago is a British Indian Ocean territory, and the UK has suspended the deal to transfer sovereignty to Mauritius. Kabil is a joint venture between NALCO, HCL, and MECL, and is expanding overseas exploration of critical minerals. The Womania initiative has enabled 2.1 lakh women-led micro and small enterprises to secure 28,000 crore in government procurement contracts. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? It's essential to note that these topics are critical for your general studies paper, highlighting India's progress in social reform, renewable energy, higher education, women's empowerment, and international relations. Remember to focus on the key facts and numbers and practice answering questions related to these topics. In conclusion, today's current affairs highlight India's progress in various sectors, from social reform to renewable energy, and from women's empowerment to international relations. As you prepare for your UPSC exams, it's essential to stay updated on these developments and practice answering questions related to these topics. The connection between these topics and your UPSC preparation is crucial, as it will help you understand the broader significance of these developments and their implications for India's development.